ओम शांति। 14th सितंबर 2018 फ्राइडे। टुडेज ब्लेसिंग इज मे यू बी कंप्लीट एंड परफेक्ट एंड लाइक द फादर। लेट योर थिंकिंग, स्पीकिंग एंड डूइंग बी द सेम। बाप दादा नाउ विशेस टू सी ऑल द चिल्ड्रन इक्वल, कंप्लीट एंड परफेक्ट। In order to become complete and perfect, let your thinking, speaking and doing, all three be same. You are making all preparation for this. You have the thought and it is also your desire. However, this desire will be fulfilled when you become ignorant of all other desires. All those tiny desires do not allow you to fulfill this one desire. Baba wants to see us complete, perfect and equal. And in order to become complete, perfect and equal, there are three things which Baba is telling: thoughts, words and deeds. Let these three things be in alignment. Let there be a sense of harmony in these three things. What we think, the same thing should come out of our mouth, and whatever are our words, we should act in accordance with our words. There are great speakers in the world, but it's not necessary that they follow whatever they teach. There are great thinkers in the world, but it's not necessary still that they translate into action whatever they think. So in order to become perfect, in order to become complete, and in order to become similar, sampanna, sampurna and saman, complete, perfect and similar to the Father, this is the one thing which everyone must try to inculcate, and this is a very deep internal play. What I am thinking, what I am saying and what I am doing, to think, to say and to do, these are the three things, and I am here, the soul. It's a triangle and I sit here. Whenever there would be disagreement in these three things, whenever there would be disarray or confusion or disorder in the soul, and whenever there would be perfect alignment of these three things, there would be a sense of harmony, a symphony within the soul. And the most important thing of these three things are our thoughts. The more the powerful thoughts we generate, the similar words would come out of our mouth. And then these two things will propel us to do elevated actions. If the thoughts are weak, for example, somebody is obese and he wants to or she wants to lose weight, and he says, I want to lose weight but I cannot control diet. Somebody wants to achieve success but he says, I cannot work hard So there would be disharmony when such a thing happens. So the first and the foremost thing which is taught in all the literature, all the scriptures, all the religion is this, and mostly this teaching is seen in Sikh literature, because such words as Mansa Vacha and Karmana should be together, similar, have been seen profoundly in Guru Granth Sahib. It's there in Hindu literature and other literature of the world, but mostly such teachings, such words have come in Guru Granth Sahib time and again. Also in some of the places in Bible, where not all three together, but words and deeds should be similar. This has been spoken so often. So this is the goal, this is the desire, this is what we want, and this is how we become equal to Father, perfect, complete and similar to the Father, when these three things are in perfect alignment with each other. Whenever we find that what we are speaking, let's forget this thought for some time, what we speak, that should become our action. At least whatever we speak, we should do that. They say this is a honesty, and which is the greatest policy and which is the best policy. At one place George Washington has said, before we tell or before we say or before we teach our children that honesty is best policy, let us first of all try to be honest in our dealings with the world. Because this translation from word to deeds is what is known as honesty. We say something but we don't do it, and there is something which is known as falsehood in between. This is how the falsehood enters. Somebody promises and doesn't do that. So there is an element of falsehood, untruth here. Somebody says something but he doesn't obey himself. And if this can be in connection with others, this can be in connection with oneself. We do make some promises within ourselves and we are not able to materialize those things. So that is the breach of trust within one's own soul. It's here the falsehood is coming, within our own soul. There is something which we are telling others and not doing, but there is something which we are telling ourselves. And the greatest example of this is Morning Amrit Vela. Time and again, I think every Brahmin must have told himself and herself that tomorrow morning Amrit Vela should be very very strong, very very powerful. This is a promise made, but then when he gets up, probably he is late, even if he gets up early, it's not very powerful, it's not very much strong. And then this is the words which were unspoken, but yet they couldn't be translated into words. So this is also dishonesty. Because here nobody is there to tell us anything, but this is an intrinsic dishonesty. Because we have not been able to fulfill what we decided. So that's why here some element of force should be there. Just as in the path of bhakti, they have certain traditions and certain norms, and what they called vrat, and what they called oath, and what they called some observance. For example, someone decides to observe silence for one day. Now there would be many many hurdles that would come his way to break his silence, but now it depends on his determination and firm will to stick to that vow, to stick to that observance, to stick to that vrat. So there should be some element of force within. When we decided something in the mind, we have to do it. no matter what happens, because it is an internal commitment. This is something like in the path of bhakti, they tell rosary. Okay. And if somebody decides that he will finish at least 2 rounds of rosary, he does it. No matter what happens, he has to do it. In the similar manner, here also, that is just a telling of rosary. Here, some thought, some promise, some sankalp, some oath taken within, and then we try to fulfill it, and then we try to reduce it to actions. So there should be some element of force, there should be some element of firm will. In next Sunday's Murli, this example of rosary Baba has given, and I was thinking, can we really take one rosary in hand? If we really take one rosary in hand, okay, and try to do the round of 108, and every time with every one bead take one soman, taking one soman, and we will not go ahead unless and until that soman comes to the mind, and that we are not going to read from somewhere. Just having a rosary in hand and start telling the rosary. For example, this is the season of Ganesha, so you can create all those self-respect related to Ganesh, that I am he. You start with I am Mangal Murti, I am the god who is auspicious, I am the destroyer of obstacles. He is the one who is Lambodar, he is the one who is Ekadanta, he is the one who is Shivputra, he is the one who eats that Modak, that prasad of inheritance of 21 births. So taking one rosary in hand and start, and don't stop unless and until you finish with 108 somans. This is a very good exercise. This will tax the brain, because after 10 or 20 one might get stuck, so you might have to shift to some other deity. But you can always practice this, because that will make the mind, that will activate the mind. This is something, a thought, a vow. Just as those devotees do this, even we can do this, and that will make our mind to think of generate samans. You need to generate saman. You need to create new samans. So this is one of the best practices. But then people would say that you have started bhakti again. This is such an exercise. But such a thing has come in next Sunday's Murli. Baba said there is only one riddle, conundrum, a puzzle. Who I am, what I am. And the answer to this would be many. You just keep on telling the rosary and the number would increase. This has been given, this exercise is given in the Murli. So, Shambhai, please procure some rosaries. Okay. And we can even do this exercise here. A rosary would be given in hand and the person will start at randomly. But you have to finish those 108. Soman, while doing this chanting. Okay, so if there is a misalignment of thoughts, words and deeds, there would be misalignment in life. If there is a disharmony in thoughts, words and deeds, there would be disharmony in the soul. If there is a disconcordance in time, thoughts, word and this, the entire life would be thrown into disarray, disorder, confusion. So try to make these three things similar. So some amount of force daman, dam is needed, just as those devotees, they do not give up. Once they take up when any vow, they fulfill it. I remember in our childhood, my mother used to go to that Ambadevi temple barefoot, without wearing any chappal. She would go to 4 or 5 kilometers all the way there, early morning. And that was the vrat, and she would follow it to the core, to as sincerely as possible. So people do a lot of vrats in the path of Bhakti Marga, but after coming in Gyan, we have stopped doing vrats. So let us regenerate or restart the practice of vrat, taking up vrat every day and trying to fulfill it. That vrat could be vrat of reading Murli 5 times a day, vrat of churning Murli, vrat of taking one point from the Murli, expanding it, visualizing it, understanding it, imbibing it, discussing it, telling others, narrating it. It could be anything, but that should be taken as a form of vrat. That I have to read today's Murli at least 5 times. This is a vrat. It can be anything. But once you take any vrat, the words should translate into action. This is an internal process. One thing is we promise that I will do this and I don't do this. So there is a mendacity, there is a sort of falsehood here. So now Baba said everyone has this desire to become perfect, complete, similar, sampanna, sampurna and saman. But this desire is not getting fulfilled because you have so many other tiny desires. Unless and until one becomes Ichha Matram Avidya, ignorant of the presence of desires, so many worldly desires, desire to do this, desire to do that, so many desires for name, fame and glory. These all desires are in fact obstacle, hurdles in the path of becoming complete, perfect and similar to the Father. And that is the desire, and because of these desire is not getting fulfilled. This, the supreme desire, the param desire of becoming like the Father is not getting fulfilled just because of this one thing. So, try to identify those smaller desires, those petty, tiny, small desires, but those desires who take away, who snap our attention, who suck our energy, and we are all the time, after fulfilling those desires, and how to get rid of those smaller desires, smaller, temporal, worldly, ephemeral, transient, transitory desires of the world. Because those desires pull us, attract us, and they do not allow us to have this supreme desire of becoming like the Father. So how to get rid of those desires? Smaller desires, worldly desires, laukik desires. Arvind bhai, how to get rid of those worldly desires? This world is going to finish. So what? Let us enjoy before the world finishes. The time is very less. It should not be lost in tapasya. Let us enjoy the world. How to finish off the worldly desires? The worldly desires to earn, the worldly desires to have name, to fame, for fame and glory, the worldly desire of moving here and there. So, creating unlimited. To know the worthlessness of those desires. To know the waste of those desires. Those desires are wasteful. Those desires are dreamy. Those desires are airy. Those desires are maya. Mike, those desires are of this world. Those desires, even if they get fulfilled, one will remain unhappy. You know, the greatest poet in the European literature, Percy Bysshe Shelley, he wrote about 2000 poetries, the greatest ever. And the poetries, each and every poetry of Percy Bysshe Shelley is superb. Whatever he wrote, that's a music. Whatever he chanted, that's a music. So, but he died unfulfilled, with deep sorrow, with suffering. He wanted to do more. At the age of 28, he died. And he was one of the greatest poets ever in the world history, Percy Bysshe Shelley. Now, why I'm telling you, this is a worldly desire. But look at Rabindranath Tagore in India. He composed about 6,000 poetries, the greatest ever in the world. So many times higher than Percy Bysshe Shelley. Shelley is considered to be the greatest romantic poets of Europe or the world. He composed 2,000. But Rabindranath Tagore composed about 6,000 poetries, not only that much. All these poetries can be put into music and turned into a song. While all these poems by Percy Bysshe Shelley cannot be converted to songs. But rather, this is something known as Rabindra music, Rabindra Sangeet in Bengal. This is a separate Sangeet that has arisen out of these. But even Rabindranath Tagore died unsatisfied. He said, I wanted to compose more. What I have composed is nothing. It's very less. Though this is at a very higher platform than Percy Bysshe Shelley. But in spite, I don't think anybody is in the world who has composed about 6,000 songs. But even Rabindranath says at the end of his life, at the time of death, he has written, whatever I have done is nothing. I wanted to do more. So there is no end to these desires. There are no end to the worldly desires. Whatever you get, that is less only. The more you get, the less. There was one more person, Andrew Carnegie. When he died, he has huge amount with him. I think 10,000, I don't know, what is Arab in English? Million? Or billion? 10 billion. He had 10 billion amount with him, but he was unhappy because he wanted 100 billion. So there was a lack of 90 billion. That's why he was unhappy. And he died unhappy. So people, no matter what they are doing, no matter what we have, we die unhappy. No matter what we get, in spite of getting that, there is a sense of unhappiness. There is a philosophy in psychology that is known as hedonic treadmill. Hedonic treadmill says, if you are here, poor, you get a lottery, you become rich, but even after becoming rich, your level of happiness after some time is the same. You wanted to marry somebody, so person is unhappy because nobody is allowing her to marry him. So they marry. After the marriage, the level of happiness is the same. There is no change. When there is no money, and now there is a money. But the happiness after some time will remain the same. This philosophy, this is known as hedonic treadmill. So happiness remains the same, no matter. Now there is no job and you want to serve, achieve job. So you get job. After some time the happiness is same. One is not in the Madhuban and one wants to come in Madhuban. So one is so restless to come in Madhuban. He comes in Madhuban after some time, plateau. He is the same what he was before. Because happiness has nothing to do with something which is exterior, something which is outside. It's an intrinsic, it's an internal process, internal belief system. So, desires, try to know the nature of desires, how they work, how they come, how they disappear. They are like the waves of the ocean. They never stop. They keep on coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Unceasing, incessant flow of desires. So Baba says, get rid of all this nonsensical, stupid desires. And have only one desire. Which desire? To become like the Father. Perfect, complete, similar. Sampanna, Sampurna and Saman. This is the only desire you should have. The burning desire, the fire of desire should be there. Fire. Only one desire in the heart. This one desire will burn away all other desires. Om Shanti.